News with Nick. December 17th, 2021. Probably the last show of that year, I guess. Those years. You know, you just say, wow, it's a new year. I'm going to do 15 shows this year. And then you look back and you do, oh, I did 12. That's not even 75%. Yes, it is. Anyway, newswithnick.com is the website. Head on over there and you can watch the video version of the show. Type your phone number in the top right corner and you'll get text alerts when there's a new show posted or when we're going to be going live. Or if you're tired of getting shows, then you just text stop to opt out. And that's it. So we're going to get some stuff to get into and finish out the year strong and probably not have a New Year's show. We used to do those too. But thanks for listening, everyone. And I don't know. You know, let's look at a calendar. December 17th. So in 2 weeks, it will be December 31st. And we'll say, everyone will say, wow, what a terrible 2021 that was, right? I said this last year. Well, 2020, what do you know? And then everyone expected the government and or the virus to go, guys, it's the end of 2020. That was just a 2020 joke. And we're out of here. So see ya. We're off to the next dimension that hasn't yet hit the year 2020 because Jesus wasn't born for an extra 10 years or whatever in that dimension. Anyway, so going to be 2022 and we're going to be like, wow, man, we thought 2020 was bad, but 2021 way worse. At least 2022 is going to be good. And then everyone's going to be like, wow, that was pretty bad. I can't believe that the government shut down the internet because there was a Java hack and hackers couldn't stop taking advantage of the Java leak. So they shut everything down. They were like, okay. Everyone, there's a hack. There's a vulnerability and it's okay. Don't worry. We're just shutting down the internet for a little bit so that the hackers can't get through. It's only going to be 15 days the internet shut off. And you know what happens after that. I was running the other day, and I'm going down the street, just, you know, as you do, a residential area pretty much, but pretty busy street. But there's houses and yards and stuff. And 5 feet in front of me, this dog jumps out from a fence. And I look over, and the gate's open. Like, this dog jumped out from an open gate. I go, whoa, that's not good. And I look at it. It's like, it doesn't have a collar on. Like, wow. Because usually if a dog's got a collar and it's near me, I'll just grab the collar. Like, oh, you got to go this way. You grab the collar and you drag it. So I'm like, that's not good. Is this dog supposed to be out on the sidewalk? Next thing I know, a second dog comes out. I'm like, wow, there's two dogs and I feel like they're escaping from this yard because the gate is propped open. They don't have collars on. I look into the yard and it's a fenced in full yard somewhere you'd let your dogs run, right? So I'm like, oh my God, I stop. I'm like, oh, these two dogs are escaping. What do I do? Okay, I'll just try to lure them back in. So I open the fence or open the gate and I stand inside the gate or I like gesture toward the dogs. Like, come on back in. One of them comes in for like a second. And then it looks at the other, and then they scamper around a bit. I'm like, oh, come on, guys, go back in. You're clearly supposed to be in this person's yard, and I'll just close the gate behind them when they get in. They look at each other, and they run off into the sunset. I'm like, oh, they're so fast. They just sprint down the road. And now I'm looking around, and I'm holding the gate still, so it looks like I just let two dogs out of someone's yard. And then they ran away. What do I do? I'm looking around. I don't see any owners. Like, no one's looking out the window. I always assume people are always looking out the windows of their houses at me. But that probably is not the case. I don't see anyone looking out the window. No one's, like, desperately running outside going, oh, my God, you let my dogs out? But to anyone watching, it would have looked like I was holding the gate open. Two dogs ran away. And I'm just standing there going, huh? What do I do? I don't know what to do. So I just keep running. I get, and And I saw him a little bit later, running down a different road, still super freaking fast. And what am I supposed to do, though? Am I supposed to run after the dogs and then try to grab them by the knot collar and lure them back to the house that I'm not even 100% sure that maybe the owner left the gate open for fun? Maybe these dogs are known to just walk down the road. It seems very unlikely that that's the case because of the scenario and the situation and the collarlessness of these dogs. But maybe. And now, am I supposed to run down the street with them? Am I supposed to run to the neighbor's house and go, knock, 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 and be like, your dog's just escaped? I don't know what to do. So I do nothing. And they could still be running to this day. Next time I go in that area, I'll peek over the fence and see if I see any dogs. And just a few days after the last show we did, we had a school shooting, and I'm not even 100% sure really what happened. Well, I guess no one's 100% sure what happens, but I don't even know much of the story here. On November 30th, 2021, a mass shooting occurred at the Oxford High School in Detroit, exurb. Exurb? Well, that's a new word for me. An exurb is an area outside the typically denser inner suburban area. So it's outside the suburb? In Oxford Township, Michigan, 4 students were killed and 7 people were injured, including a teacher. Authorities arrested and charged 15-year-old sophomore Ethan Crumbly as an adult for 24 crimes, including murder and terrorism. Crumbly's parents, Jennifer and James, were charged on December 3rd with involuntary manslaughter for failing to secure the handgun used in the shooting. Surveillance footage reportedly showed the suspect, Ethan Crumbly, entering a bathroom with a backpack and then exiting about a minute later without the backpack, but with a semi-automatic handgun. Immediately afterwards, prosecutors, this is what these kids do because they know where the cameras are. There's no cameras in the bathrooms. So they go, well, I can use the bathroom as the place where I unbag my gun. Immediately afterwards, prosecutors and school officials said Crumbly started firing in the hallway at students during passing time when hundreds of students were transitioning from one class to another. When they started fleeing, he methodically and deliberately walked down the hallway and shot into classrooms and at students who were unable to escape until he went into another bathroom. Due to the quick response by students and staff to the gunshots, Crumbly was allegedly unable to enter any of the classrooms. Oh, so there are active shooter, shut the doors. In school, we weren't allowed to have windows that you could see through on the doors, which now that you think back on it, you think these days everyone's like being all crazy with the virus. Like, wow, you guys are really taking this freaking seriously and to inappropriate measures. Back in the day, if you had a door with a window on it, whether it be one of those small rectangle windows or the big one that's like the size of the door, you had to cover it with stuff. Because the rule was you couldn't have windows you could see through from the hallway in case there's a shooter. Because then the shooter would walk down and be like, ah, people in this room. According to students, a voice over the intercom alerted them to an active shooter, and the teacher started locking and barricading doors and covering windows, convincing them it was not a drill. Others recounted hearing some loud banging noises before realizing the noises were gunshots and quickly locking the door. I've said this before. This is something that happens in almost every shooting. People go, wow, I just heard a lot of popping noises, and I just thought it was some guy popping bubble wrap down the hall, but turns out it was a gun. We have all this active shooter training, and no one tells anyone what a gun sounds like. So what they have to do is say, okay, everyone, stay in the classroom. I'm going to go down the hall, and I'm going to shoot this into the wall. And this is what a gun sounds like. That would be way better shooting training than usually what they do. Others recounted hearing some loud banging noises before realizing the noises were gunshots and quickly locking the door. One student who hid in a bathroom stall recalled hearing the sound of a gun cocking outside the bathroom. Really? I thought that was an old movie wives' tale. Wait, what did he shoot with? I'm sure it's in here somewhere. I don't remember though. Let's see. Oops, I lost my spot. Once the school was secured, he opened the bathroom door to find several bodies laying on the floor. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. At 12:51 p.m., police began receiving the first of around 100 911 calls about the shooting and responded to the school. Within 2 to 3 minutes of arrival of the first responders, Crumbly was arrested unharmed by a deputy assigned as a school resource officer and a second deputy who has responded to the scene. He allegedly still had several rounds of ammunition loaded into his gun and 2 15-round magazines when he was stopped by the deputies. At a news conference, Oakland County Undersheriff Michael McCabe said the gunman gave up without any problems. The entire shooting lasted about 5 minutes and occurred in the southern end of the school building. After the shooting occurred, the school went into lockdown. Okay, that seems post-mature. Some students were evacuated to a nearby Meijer store, and one woman helped children into shelter in her house. Authorities conducted 3 sweeps of the school in search for victims and evidence. At least one student posted a video to social media of people hiding in a classroom during the lockdown, where a person out in the hallway claimed to be law enforcement. Those in the classroom mistakenly believed that they were speaking to the gunman, and they subsequently fled the classroom via the window. They teach this too. If anyone knocks on the door and says they're the cops, it's probably the gunman. Excuse me, it's me, the police. Please let me in. Just kidding, it's me, the gunman. Joke's on them. Police are always the gunman. Due to confusion from the video, Sheriff Bouchard clarified during a press conference that the gunman had never knocked on a door based on surveillance footage that the person was likely actually a detective. All right, let's see. What's the investigation? The school was processed by authorities. The school was processed by authorities with video footage from security cameras. We're processing you. I guess I don't understand what words mean. With video footage from security cameras in the school building being the investigators' primary focus. Officials told reporters that the camera showed some of the actual shooting and that Crumbly had a clear intent to kill other students, saying he fired through barricaded doors and aimed for the heads and chests of victims at close range. A search warrant was also executed on the Crumbly's home, where a cell phone, a journal, several long guns, and several other items were seized as part of an investigation around the shooting and Crumbly's prior social media posts. The cell phone contained 2 videos of Crumbly, both of which were filmed the night before the shooting, in which he purportedly talked about shooting and killing students at school the next day? He's an Elliot Rodger. The journal also reportedly detailed his desire to shoot up the school. According to the sheriff, investigators had spoken with Crumbly's parents during the search of their home, but not after. Let's see. Now, here's the thing that's different about this situation. The parents have been arrested. After announcing the charges against Ethan Crumbly, this never happens. The parents are always like, ah, man, we had no clue. We're heartbroken that this has happened. After announcing the charges against Ethan Crumbly, prosecutor Karen McDonald told reporters that her office was also considering criminal charges against Crumbly's parents. She said responsible gun ownership was crucial to stop tragedies, and those who are not responsible should be held accountable. On December 3rd, McDonald held a press conference in which she announced that both parents are being charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter for their failure to secure the gun that Crumbly used in the shooting. It was reported to be a rare instance of parents being charged in relation to a school shooting. Hey, that's what I just said. So we're going to see what happens. People are real mad about this. Michigan school shooting prosecutor doesn't have words after watching footage of the attack.
Raymond of Ethan Crumbly, a 15-year-old being charged as an adult in the murders at that Michigan high school yesterday, that claimed a fourth life. Today, a 17-year-old student, the fourth victim, succumbing to critical injuries that had occurred yesterday. The assaults are many and the counts are many. 4 counts of first-degree murder, 7 counts of assault with intent to murder, 12 counts of possession of a firearm. Crumbly, you might recall, was arrested in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, taken into custody. We also had a chance to see his parents were part of this arraignment process. We learned of it through the police and then the chief of police in the area that they had been with their son that morning on a school
boring
discipline issue that had come up over 2 days. First on Monday and then separately meeting with some other teachers. We're told, we assume teachers, the very next day, whether they were with him on both days, it appears that they were.
Yeah, so apparently this kid had been real bad. and they knew that he was troubled or whatever, and they didn't, I don't know, preemptively arrest him? I don't know what they want. Search his room? Can't be searching kids' rooms. That's the Fourth Amendment. Parents cannot go into your kid's room looking for guns.
This is coming from the Oakland County.
Skipping ahead. Let's see if there's any other info.
Karen McDonald.
Terrorized by the 15-year-old's action. And as you referenced, the prosecutor said there was a mountain of digital evidence to show that these shootings were premeditated. Certainly raises the question, if there was so much evidence out there online, why no red flags were raised? As for the shooter himself, we're learning new details about what went on yesterday. Just before 1 p.m., the 15-year-old walked up and down the hallways, firing a six-hour pistol at extremely close range, hitting fellow students in the head, in the body, at times shooting through...
Okay, so that's the Michigan school shooting. So I guess we'll see what happens to this guy and the parents. I don't know. I'm not sure that the parents' charges are going to stick. Is it murder, manslaughter, to just leave a gun laying out because, you know, I've seen people leave guns laying out and, you know, they were never charged with manslaughter, even after that anyway. In related news, a South Carolina high schooler has been arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot up schools. I love it. We love it when they're caught before the act. South Carolina sheriff's deputies arrested a 14-year-old male high school student Monday on charges he threatened to shoot up schools in his county. The Lexington County Sheriff's Office said the Gilbert high school student made a threatening statement while on the bus last Thursday, and another student overheard him. All right, let's see if we can figure out what happened here. The student told administrators that he heard the other student allegedly talking about wearing a trench coat the next day and shooting up an elementary school and a middle school, according to an incident report cited by the sheriff's office. The student who came forward should be commended for doing the right thing. What's that? Kids these days are still thinking that trench coats are the shooting outfit? Or has that always been the shooting outfit and 1999 just made it popular? They heard something and reported all the details to someone who could immediately step and take action to make sure everyone stayed safe. While there was never any imminent danger to students, teachers, or anyone else on the campus. What? While there was never any imminent danger, this is another example of how we in Lexington School District share the responsibility to protect those who learn and work at school. The student who identify has not been publicly released. He was released from custody after he was charged. The district said it has suspended the student. Okay, so this isn't even a real charge, hardly. This is just a kid who was on the bus saying, I'm going to wear a trench coat and go shoot up an elementary school. Here's another one. This is from last week. Teens charged with trespassing case were planning to stage a school shooting. This is from Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Johnstown, I guess. So we had Michigan, we had South Carolina. Now we're over to Pennsylvania. Authorities have provided new details about the investigation into the Westmont Hilltop High School trespassing incident. They're now calling it an alleged school shooting plot. Investigators say a result of subsequent search warrants, a total of five AR-7-style firearms, a rifle, a shotgun, and additional ammunition were seized from the home of 16-year-old Preston Heinbog. Police also confirmed they can prove the Heinbaum had access and control to at least two of the weapons at different points in time. Upper Yoder Police Chief, blah, 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 stressed to 6 News that the other teenager being charged, 17-year-old Logan Pringle, was not allowed to be on the school property due to a prior threat in which he threatened to shoot up the school, and he was expelled from the district. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. So we do have the affidavit here. Heinberg said that Pringle was obsessed with guns and had previously made firearm parts while attending the local vocational school. All right, let's see what the criminal complaint says. On December 7th, 2021, at 10:30 in the morning, Logan Pringle entered the Westmont Hilltop High School, a building in which he is not permitted to be inside per a county order, blah, blah, blah. Logan Pringle entered through the front door, bypassing the lock with the aid of another student. Oh, so he just walks through and goes, oh, I go here too. Thanks. Okay, can you just hold the door quick? Security in this. It's crazy. Politeness breaks security, right? I go to work every day. You're supposed to badge in. And then 50% of the days, there's someone in front of me. And they hold the door. They're like, come on in. Thank you. You're still supposed to swipe your badge so it logs that you're on the premises. But if my badge had been disabled and I was supposed to be locked out, I don't think it alarms or anything. I think I just walk right in. I wish that we could change society. And instead of holding the door open, you quickly closed it in front of anyone just in case. What if it's a shooter? You can't be being polite all the time. Logan Pringle has the following history of threats and dangerous actions relative to the high school. On January 25th, 2018, he lit a match and threw it onto the carpeting. Doesn't seem that bad. In January again in 2018, Logan Pringle was found to be in possession of fireworks inside the school building. He was obsessed with weapons and researched them on school computers. Imitation weapons have been found in Logan Pringle's possession by school staff. Also in 2018, 8 witnesses reported that Logan Pringle made the threat, I'm going to get a gun and shoot up the school, due to Logan Pringle being angered over being expelled. He went on to further say, I just have to figure out how to get into the school. I'm going to get a Glock and shoot up the school. Okay, so that was 2018. In 2021, a school search of Logan Pringle's internet history on a school-owned, school-issued device on the school's Wi-Fi found numerous searches involving guns, specifically an AR-15 form. Wait, how though? So in 2018, he was expelled, it says. During an interview, Pringle stated he didn't think it would be that easy to get back into the school. He stated he left through the door near the gym because he did not believe he would be able to go out through the front doors without being caught. So in 2018, he had all these issues. And then in 2021, they find a history of him searching stuff. An interview with Preston Heinbaugh, the student who let Pringle into the building, revealed the following. Preston Heinbaugh said Logan Pringle is obsessed with guns. Logan Pringle is no longer permitted inside the Heinbaugh's house because he fired a shotgun into a wall of the residence. Ha ha! What the? Preston said that Logan Pringle has manufactured firearm parts while at the Greater Johnstown Career. Preston Heinbaugh's parents thought all of the firearms in their residence were locked in a safe, but Preston said he had a .30-30 rifle and an AR-15 in his room that his parents were unaware of. An AR-15 was seized by the affiant. I guess that's the person filling out the affidavit on a separate search warrant. Wow, this is crazy. Preston posted to his personal Snapchat story a picture of Logan Pringle in the school building illegally with the banner, "He's back," across the photograph. Funny. But they're charging them with shooting? They're charging them with possible shooting? Preston Heinbaugh of Upper Yoder Township has been charged with conspiracy to commit terrorism, conspiracy to commit aggravated assault, conspiracy to commit criminal trespassing, possession of firearm by a minor. Both defendants were taken into custody without incident and are currently in prison awaiting preliminary arraignment? It sounds like he's getting charged with conspiracy to commit terrorism for opening the door for the kid. I mean, also that he had a gun in his room, I guess. Well, anyway, that's cool. So on to the news for my job. Everyone very excited to find out if I still am going to have a job soon. This was breaking 10 days ago. Plaintiffs comprised of the states of Georgia, Alabama, Idaho, Kansas, South Carolina, Utah, and West Virginia, the governors of several of those states and various state agencies, including the blah, 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 filed a suit seeking declaratory and injunctive relief against the enforcement of Executive Order 14042, which requires that contractors and subcontractors performing work on certain federal contracts ensure that their employees and others working in connection with federal contracts are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Upon filing this lawsuit, the plaintiffs requested that this court issue a preliminary injunction. Additionally, building, so blah, 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 blah. So they name a bunch of plaintiffs that are suing, bringing to federal court a lawsuit saying, the president said that contractors have to get vaccinated against COVID, and it doesn't seem like we should. It doesn't seem like we should have to do that. And I don't think that Joe Biden was allowed to do that. So the court issues a 28-page statement. At the end, it says, on the unique facts before it, the court finds it necessary. Like, so they said things like, it seems like maybe Joe Biden didn't have the rights to issue this executive order. It seems like if this goes to court, it's likely that the plaintiffs will succeed. That Joe Biden can't be saying willy-nilly, hey, all contractors have to get vaccinated, and subcontractors to those contractors. So companies that work for my company, the cafeteria staff, the electricians, anyone who works on the building has to prove that their company is vaccinated before working on my company, because my company works partly for the federal government. Thus, on the unique facts before it, the court finds it necessary, in order to truly afford injunctive relief to the parties before it, to issue an injunction with nationwide applicability. Confusing for some people, and I've had to explain it over and over again. There's several mandates going on. There's the healthcare workers mandate. There's the OSHA mandate, which is supposed to apply to private businesses. That OSHA pretty much put a thing out that said, we're OSHA, so therefore we're in charge of safety, and we say that if you have COVID in your building, that's a grave danger, and therefore everyone needs to be vaccinated. And the court was like, are you serious? Grave danger? I don't think so. And they put that on hold. But my company was like, nope, we're still the federal contractor mandate, so we're still following that. And then federal contractor mandate gets put on hold. So I'm like, great. This is great news. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it's a good start. Because my company has constantly said, well, we're doing this vaccination mandate because the federal government said we have to. Because we have employees in Germany and other countries who are not having this put on them. And they said, well, it's because it's a U.S. mandate. So what do I do? I'm the leader of the resistance. If you want to know more about that, tune into the show from October, I guess it was. So since I'm the leader, I draft an email to the head of all operations in the U.S. I'm like, huh? Gotta go for it. Said, good morning. In your first email announcing vaccination requirements for U.S. employees, you specifically referenced the two expected federal mandates related to the vaccination, the OSHA mandate and the federal contractor mandate. And I paste a little quote from his original email. In the weeks that followed, a number of questions and meetings took place, both at the country council level and the individual site levels, meaning the New Hampshire site. Many questions came up, such as, why don't we get weekly testing? And the answer was that because that's not an option in the federal contractor mandate. Why is this only being rolled out to U.S. employees? And why are subcontractors also affected? Because that's all in the federal contractor mandate. I said, the country council and the site leadership has repeatedly referenced in the expected federal mandate for reasons why employees were facing a deadline to prove their vaccination status. And in early November, you extended the deadline, stating that yesterday the federal government extended the date to comply with the recently announced COVID-19 vaccine mandate. So it used to be December 8th, and then they pushed it to January 4th, and that's because the White House said that. So I write, as of yesterday, both the OSHA directive and the federal contractor executive order have been placed on hold nationwide by federal judges, saying in the most recent order, among other things, that plaintiffs will likely succeed in their claim that the president exceeded the authorization given to him by Congress through the Federal Property and Administrative Services Act when issuing the executive order 14042. I hope that you will continue the pattern of following the federal directives and rulings on this and place a similar hold on the U.S. employee vaccination mandate deadline to protect the jobs of my U.S. colleagues. And then I sent an attachment, which was a photo of all of us protesting outside. I'm feeling so good. I'm like, man, I just made the best case possible. They've pointed to this federal contractor mandate left and right and be like, this is why we're doing it. This is why we're doing it. So now that it's on hold, they're going to have to not go through with it, right? They're going to have to put it on hold. 6 minutes later. I get a response. Hi, Nick. Thanks for your email on this challenging topic. I wanted to respond quickly, given the criticality of the question. As a government contractor, the company, and every time they say the company, C is capitalized, like Jesus. The company is covered by Executive Order 14042, under which we, blah, 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 implemented the COVID-19 vaccination policy. I'm like, okay, great. Recently, the federal district judge in Georgia issued a temporary stay of the executive order on a nationwide basis. However, this development does not invalidate the company's COVID-19 vaccination policy, which remains in place at this time. In light of the continued prevalence of the COVID-19 virus, public health guidance, and the importance of continued operations and meeting requirements for our customers, the company has determined that it continues to be in the best interests of the company, its employees, and members of the communities in which the company operates to keep its COVID-19 vaccination policy in place. Therefore, despite the rapidly changing and complicated legal environment at this time, the company intends to move forward with its COVID-19 vaccination policy. We will continue to monitor and any legal developments that may impact this decision. Employees will be notified if there are any changes to this policy. So in 6 minutes, I got a response that appears to be a pretty much copy and paste to anyone asking the question, right? Because this guy's got 13,000 employees. He's not going, oh, got to type this out again. No. He's got on quick copy and paste anyone who's asking about the news, about it being put on hold. And he's saying, we're going forward with it, which of course is what they're going to say. They're never going to, even if they were thinking about it, thinking about changing it, they weren't going to go, actually, we are thinking about changing it, because they're not going to show their cards to anyone who's resistant. Which, by the way, I'm not resisting. I'm just not verifying my vaccination status so far yet. Police, anyone listening? They're not going to show their hand and think about and say we're thinking about it, because that just gives power to the people who are not doing it to say, hey, they're thinking about it. Maybe we'll just wait and see what happens. They're going to show strength until the last minute when they say, just kidding, we're pushing it off. So as of now, I may still be fired if I don't verify my vaccine status. Verify having gotten a vaccine, right? Not just verifying the status. 2 days ago, I get up, pop open my work email. Let's see what's going on today. I have an email. It's from one of the managers at the site, right? Not my manager, a manager that works in an apartment similar to mine, but don't report up the same chain necessarily. Hi, Nick. Hearing scuttlebutt, you are choosing to not vax. Not a surprise, given your activism and comments. This is a completely unprovoked email, by the way. We hadn't really talked about this. Me and her hadn't really discussed it at all. And I've actually been not discussing it with people in power at work. If they say, what are you doing? I'm like, got no info for you. Sorry. Still considering my options. Hi, Nick. Hearing scuttlebutt that you are choosing to not vax. Not a surprise, given your activism and comments. I don't understand the narrative of choosing to be anti-vax. I believe it is a community-driven choice, and we are choosing to protect each other, keep our elders and at-risk people safe. It is not an exaggeration that 800,000 Americans have died due to COVID. Is it not an exaggeration? I don't know. Look at the charts. And people choosing to not get vaccinated are gumming up ICUs and ERs. Someone's dad is in his 80s, has pneumonia, and spent 24 hours on a gurney in the hallway because the hospital was so overrun with non-vaccinated COVID patients. It hurts my heart that elders are dying because hospital staff must triage and prioritize people who won't vax. Maybe you should sign a waiver wherein you agree that non-COVID cases should be treated before you, hypothetical you. I was really looking forward to you joining the team. You have a huge ego, so I don't need to feed that. But I thought there would be good synergy and collaboration. I was hoping you would help progress the DPT concept, which is a term we use at work, and what it means for us. We were lined up to support, help, collaborate, and get creative. I deeply believe in protest, but I think what you are doing appears ego-driven, selfish, and wildly short-sighted. Ultimately, I just don't get why you don't care about keeping people, friends, and coworkers safe. Seems like a small ask. Whoa! Got called out. So that's that. People are not happy with me. Moving on. So I guess this may be the last time we speak between now and when I know my fate, I suppose, which is supposed to be January 4th. Maybe I'll try to do a posting January 3rd or something near the date with any new info. But it may be that I have no job other than doing this show soon. So that could be cool. Chat's going crazy. This guy doesn't understand your position at all. Ego driven indeed. You really want your grandma to die. Yeah, it's a good point, right? If you see the media has cast the anti-vaxxers as people who, I don't know, think their kids get autism over vaccines, which it's very strange to me that, isn't it kind of coincidental that the whole anti-vax like narrative started, I don't know, 5-8 years ago, where a light started being shined on people who were like, vaccines cause autism. I'm not vaccinating my kids. Vaccines are crazy, right? And now all of a sudden, it's very convenient that that narrative was pushed so long ago to cast certain people who resist a certain, like very small amount of people are actually anti-medical vaccination. Just like a very small amount of people are truly flat earth, if any, right? But then you're walking down the street and you look up at a mountain and you go, I wonder if that mountain really exists. And then everyone around you thinks you're suddenly a whole flat earther just because you wonder if one mountain really exists. No. Now everyone's been cast under the one huge umbrella. I don't think I'm saying anything that you people don't already understand. Everyone's being cast under the one huge umbrella of anti-vaxxers when really we don't want a police state. Because what's next? You guys know the QR codes are coming where they say, just quick scan your QR code and you're going to be let into the bar and this will prove your vaccination status for COVID-19, 20, 21, and last year's flu. I don't want to live in a world where we're doing this all the time because it just means everyone's scared of each other. We could be getting some real work done. Instead, we're running around, staying 6 feet apart, but not really, but having to read signs about staying 6 feet apart. When was the last time you stayed 6 feet apart? I don't freaking know. Johan says he's living the QR code here in Europe. That's crazy. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I guess it already exists in some parts. You can't go anywhere without a QR code on your phone proving that you have vaccines. All right, so in other news, the January 6th commission has been studying like what Trump did to cause the outrage on January 6th and pretty much try to take over the government. Hours before the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol this year, Donald Trump made several calls from the White House to top lieutenants at the Willard Hotel in Washington and talked about ways to stop the certification of Joe Biden's election win from taking place on January 6th. The former president first told lieutenants his vice president, Mike Pence, was reluctant to go along with the plan to commandeer his largely ceremonial role at the joint session of Congress. What the heck? In a way that would allow Trump to retain his presidency for a second term. Is this real? I always thought that this was fake news, that Trump wasn't actually trying to overthrow the election. Johan says he can go to many places but not go out and eat and drink. So I guess Johan does not have the QR code tattooed into his skin yet. But no restaurants allowed. Estonia are not as dire as Germany or Australia yet. All right, keep us posted. As Trump relayed to them the situation with Pence, he pressed his lieutenants about how to stop Biden's certification taking place on 6th of January and delay the certification process to get alternate slates of electors for Trump sent to Congress. The former president's remarks came as part of a strategy discussion he had from the White House with lieutenants at the Willard, a team led by Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Boris Epstein, and Trump strategist Steve Bannon about delaying the certification. Multiple sources speaking to The Guardian on the condition of anonymity described Trump's involvement in the effort to subvert the results of the 2020 election. Trump's remarks revealed direct line from the White House and the command center at the Willard. The conversations also showed Trump's thoughts appear to be in line with the motivations of the pro-Trump mob that carried out the Capitol attack, halted Biden's certification until it was later ratified by Congress. This is crazy. I guess Trump was going nuts. Capitol attack panel obtains a PowerPoint that set out a plan for Trump to stage a coup. The former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows turned over to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack a PowerPoint, which was recommending that Donald Trump to declare a national security emergency in order to return himself to the presidency. What? The fact that Meadows, again, the Chief of Staff. Now, the only thing I know about Chief of Staff is everything I've learned from the House of Cards, where the Chief of Staff is like a guy that they just pin all the murders on. The fact that Meadows was in possession of a PowerPoint the day before the Capitol attack that detailed ways to stage a coup suggests he was at least aware of efforts by Trump and his allies to stop Joe Biden's certification from taking place. All right, let's take a look at the PowerPoint. I haven't really read it. Okay, it's titled Election Fraud, Foreign Interference, and Options for January 6th. By the way, there's hardly any styling on it, if at all. It's basically someone opened PowerPoint and then did a just started typing in the blanks. You're supposed to go to view and layout, and like you pick a theme for your PowerPoint so that when the CEO watches it, he's like, wow, you're really good at PowerPoint. When really you just picked something that wasn't just a pure white screen. This is a PowerPoint titled January 5th, 2021. Talking points. The Chinese systematically gained control over our election system, constituting a national security emergency. The electronic voting machines were compromised, cannot be trusted to provide an accurate vote count. To restore confidence, the fail-safe of counting paper ballots must be used to determine who won the election for president. Oh, my throat. Is it COVID? Hand counts reported by the media are not really hand counts and easily subverted. Summary of domestic voter fraud. We have double voters, deceased voters, out-of-state voters, blah, 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 blah. It's been happening for a while. Irregularities. There's a slide about irregularities. Donald Trump was winning by a significant margin across all key states. The vote counting stopped in key states where Smartmatic software and either ES&S or Dominion machines were used. When reporting resumed, a massive spike occurred that favored Joe Biden and exceeded the counting capabilities that were on hand in many cases. Vote injections. This is Michigan fixing the vote. There's a little line here. And then it's Biden's votes. And then at like 2 a.m., as everyone knows. No, 6:30 a.m., the line goes vertical. 54,000 votes appeared on this line. Boop. Just, there's Joe Biden's votes. Pennsylvania fixing the vote. It's another graph with similar spikes in it. All right, so let's see what we're going to do. So that we've got 10 or so pages in this PowerPoint of pointing out election irregularities. Can we skip to the part where we say what Trump should do? Oh my God, there's a whole trail here of where who's paying who. China's involved? This is nuts. We'll put this link in the show notes of the page on newswithnick.com. Okay, here's what we do. Recommendations because of this. Brief senators and congressmen on foreign interference. So basically say, okay, we have proof that China gave money to the vote counting companies and that they fixed the election for Joe Biden. Brief the senators and congressmen on foreign interference. Declare a national security emergency. Foreign influence and control of electronic voting systems. Declare an electronic voting in all states is invalid and say that legal and genuine paper ballot counts or constitutional remedy delegated to Congress. Next step, you first disqualify all counterfeit ballots and then count all of the remaining legal paper ballots nationwide. You restore confidence in the election outcome. We've got more evidence. A trusted lead counter will be appointed with authority from the president to direct the actions of select federalized National Guard units and support from DOJ, DHS, and other U.S. government agencies as needed to complete a recount of the legal paper ballots for the federal elections in all 50 states. U.S. Marshals will immediately secure all ballots, provide a protective perimeter around the locations in all 50 states. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, will use their emergency response logistic capabilities to support the effort. They will integrate the IT support. What the? That will include separating out the legal from the counterfeit ballots and communications, with all supporting the effort and cameras, which are possibly even cell phones, imaging each and every ballot. These images will be distributed to the internet. Huh? Then what? No, there's no extra info on that. The federalized National Guard in each state will be supplied detailed processes and be responsible for counting each legitimate paper ballot. Teams made up of three, first couple counties will be five. National Guard members will do the counting. The National Guard's going to do all the counting? Are you kidding me? As the counting occurs, each ballot will be imaged and the images placed on the internet, so any U.S. citizen can view them and count the ballots themselves. The process will be completely transparent. Okay, we're going to need a much bigger database. You guys think a vaccine database is hard to make. There's going to need to be a huge database if we're going to take a picture of every single ballot and put them on the internet. You know, you just put them on the internet. But where? I don't know, on the internet. Every U.S. citizen can view every ballot. All 150 million of them. I don't know how much space that would take, but it seems like it's a lot. Blah, 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 blah. The end. The last slide says the end. That proves that it's fake. So anyway. That's, I guess, the January 6th commission is finding a whole lot of stuff about Trump being like, what do we do? What do we do? Why didn't he just nuke the country? Okay, I'm the president. I can nuke anything, right? Can I nuke the Capitol building while the counts are going? How would they make a new president then? A Michigan woman faces prison after trying to hire an assassin through a fake website. I'm so mad at this story. In July of 2020, and this news is coming out now, I guess, the Michigan woman came across a website, Rent a Hitman, that promised to handle your delicate situation privately and in a timely manner. The site boasts having almost 1,800 field operatives who can do a job anywhere in the United States. It features testimonials from satisfied clients, including a man who wrote that Rent a Hitman handled my disgruntled employee issue promptly while I was out of town on vacation. So Wine filled out a form on the site seeking consultation for her issue. This is kind of weird that your company is not on the deep or dark web, she wrote in a message to the man she believed to be the site's chief consultant. I prefer not going to jail. Thanks for your time. That did not stop Wayne from offering to pay $5,000 to have her husband killed, but there was a problem. Guido Finelli, the runner of the site, is actually Bob Innes, a California man who runs the website. Rent a Hitman's operatives have never actually killed anybody. Instead, the site exists to dupe people who are looking for hired killers. This is a statement from the news, or sorry, from the police, rather. For immediate release, this was a year ago, though, 51-year-old South Rockwood woman was arrested on Friday for attempting to hire a hitman to kill her ex-husband. She contacted the website rentahitman.com, which claims to offer hitmen to solve problems. She completed a service request form on the website and requested a consultation to help her with her issue. She specified her ex-husband was the target of her problems. The owner of the website then contacted the police, said he was because they were concerned Wine may be attempting to kill her husband. The Michigan State Police Monroe Post initiated an investigation with the assistance of officers from Mantis and LawNet. An undercover state trooper posing as a hitman met with Wine in a parking lot in South Rockwood. She offered to pay him $5,000 to murder her ex-husband, who lives in another state, and provided him with an upfront payment for travel expenses. Wine was arrested for solicitation to commit murder and was lodged at the Monroe County Jail. Ah, we got a nice setup here, bed and breakfast. She was arraigned, blah, 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 blah. Now, is every cop trained in, like, being a fake hitman? Or if your police department got a call and was like, I have someone who wants to hire a hitman and she's crazy and she's serious. What do we do? Do they go, okay, look, all right, pull up. I think Joe in the next town, he's one of them fake hitmen. I assume you need training to become a fake hitman, right? You got to practice. Okay. All right. Practice with me. All right. We're going to kill your husband, right? Yeah. Okay. It's going to be $500. Ah, that doesn't seem right. You're a cop. I'm out of here. If I were a cop and I were one of the fake hitmen, I would be freaking nervous on my first time. I'd be like, what do I do? I'm about to meet my first real suspect where I'm a fake hitman. Hmm? And then you get done and you go up to your supervisor and you're like, did I do good? Am I good, fake hitman? The site's owner turns murderous clients over to the police. He started it as a website for an internet security business that turned by accident into online bait for people looking to get their enemies killed. Service requests go to Innes, who hands serious inquiries over to law enforcement. The site the site promises confidentiality under the Hitman Informational Protection and Privacy Act of 1964. HIPAA! Some people still fall for it, filling out online forms with their real name, contact information, and details about who they want handled. Innes says more than 400 people have filled out the service request forms on the site since it launched, including some who have expressed interest in becoming hitmen and pranksters trying to play jokes on friends. Of those, roughly 10% turned into legitimate cases where police became involved. I thought nobody could be that stupid. Boy, have I been proven wrong. These people, whoever they are, they see HIPAA, they think privacy. So they feel compelled to leave their real information, names, addresses, and intended targets. He says that he gives someone 24 hours. It's like a cooling off period to come back to your senses. I want to give people the opportunity to walk away. After a day, I ask them two questions. Do you still require our services, and do you want to be connected to a field operative? If they respond yes to both, he connects them to a law enforcement agency in their area, which takes over communications with the suspect. So only 40, okay, so 400 people have filled out the form. Only 40 have had the police come in. So that's not that many dumb people, but there's at least one, this lady. So if you head on over to rentahitman.com, you can show your support by donating any amount by clicking here. Okay, that probably is not a... You can just donate to the guy. If you're a successful hitman business, why do you need donation? Rent a Hitman is your point-and-click solution. Click below for a free consultation. Your privacy is important to us. The dark web is not safe, but we are. Everyone should know by now that the dark and deep webs are not safe. Places to shop for your... are not safe places to shop for your nefarious deeds. There are lots of potentially dangerous sites, rife with viruses, and fraud runs rampant there. Your privacy is not guaranteed, and your information could be leaked to thousands of less than stellar sites, including law enforcement. That's no fun. Rent a Hitman is safe, secure, and available right here on the World Wide Web. Blah, 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 blah. HIPAA. Got a problem that needs resolving? Blah, 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 blah. Fill out this form for your free consultation. We can make any troubled relationship disappear. Let's face it. We've all had a relationship or two that you wish would go away. Blah, blah, blah. And then you can call their voicemail if you want. This guy stole my idea. Right? Or maybe he didn't steal it. Maybe he came out with it first. But I've been saying for years, head on over to streammyshooting.com. If you're going to do a shooting, like the kid in Michigan, don't you want to be famous? We're going to set up cameras. We're going to give you a GoPro. We can do a 10-camera operation. All angles of the school when you do your shooting. So you head on over to streammyshooting.com and you fill out the form. You say, okay, where is it going to be? About what time? do you want to meet first? We'll go over like, okay, if you look, you'll look cool if you hold the gun like this, right? Do you have a manifesto that you would like us to release at the same time as your shooting occurs? And we'll be on YouTube and Twitch streaming your shooting. And then as soon as they go through over all the details, we call the police. Obviously, we're not really going to stream anyone's shootings. But people who want to do shootings want to be famous. So, and none of them have been streamed. Only one of them has streamed. No. There's a few that have streamed, but not to the extent that streammyshooting.com can do with our long-range telescope microphones. Josh Duggar trial verdict finds him guilty on child porn charges. Josh Duggar has been found guilty on child porn charges. A jury in Arkansas ruled Thursday. The former reality TV star was immediately taken into custody. The jury in Fayetteville found the 33-year-old Duggar guilty on one charge each of receiving and possessing child pornography. He faces up to 20 years in prison and fines up to $25,000 for each count when he's sentenced. Duggar's attorneys released a statement, blah, 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 blah. So did the family. This from DuggarFamily.com. So Josh Duggar, the eldest son of Michelle and Jim Bob Duggar from 19 Kids and Counting, because when you're born, you know, the first thing you want is a camera in your face, from StreamMyBirth.com/Duggar. Statement from Jim Bob and Michelle. This entire ordeal has been very grievous. Today, God's grace, the love and prayers of so many, has sustained us. Our hearts and prayers are with anyone who has ever been harmed through CSAM, which is, I think, child sexual assault material, maybe? Something material. In the days ahead, we will do all we can to surround our daughter-in-law, Anna, and their children with love and support. As parents, we will never stop praying for Joshua and loving him, as we do all our children. In each of life's circumstances, we place our trust in God. He is our source of strength and refuge. Thanks for your prayers. So what happened? The present case came to law enforcement's attention. On May 2019, Detective Culmer of the Little Rock Police Department was conducting an undercover online investigation on the BitTorrent peer-to-peer file-sharing network. During her investigation, she observed that a user connected to the network from IP address 167.224.196.113 was sharing CSAM over the network. Ooh. Using a BitTorrent software designed for law enforcement, Detective Culmer downloaded CSAM directly from this user. The downloaded files included two things that I'm not going to say on YouTube because I could get banned. It's so gross. After downloading these files, Detective Culmer determined that the target IP geolocated to Northwest Arkansas. Contacted HSI Special Agent Faulkner, who investigates federal child porn offenses, to inquire whether he would investigate the user at the target IP. Okay, so the police are basically saying, I saw some CSAM, and yeah, I downloaded it just to see what it was. But you're allowed to do that if you're the police, I guess. After receiving a lead, they determined the target IP was issued to by an internet service provider known as Ozark Go. Ozarks? That's a TV show. And requested subscriber information with the user's account. On October 7, 2019, in response to the summons, Ozarks Go identified the subscriber associated with the target IP as the defendant, with an address that ultimately returned to the defendant's used car dealerships. At approximately 3 p.m. on November 8, 2019, law enforcement executed the search warrant on the car dealership. Agents encountered the defendant and two other men standing outside in the car lot. Inside the small building on the lot, which operated as the business's main office, law enforcement located an HP desktop computer with an image of the defendant and his family on the screen. All 19 of them, or like probably the wife and their kids, which they had like tons of kids too. A subsequent forensic examination of that device and other devices seized from the defendant and the car lot pursuant to the warrant uncovered evidence demonstrating that the defendant used the HP desktop to download from the internet and subsequently possessed multiple files depicting minors engaged in sexually explicit content. So multiple files, but he's only charged with one of each. So anyway, that's the story of Josh Duggar. Apparently, he was doing some bit duggering on a company, HP All-in-One Desktop. Didn't use a VPN or something. Well, that's that. All right, it's almost time to end the show. Thanks for coming. It's newswithnick.com is the website. I've been doing basically nothing at work. I hate to admit it, but I've been put into work purgatory, I told someone. Because I switched jobs in November, right? They took all my old jobs and they gave them to another department and they said, "Yeah, we're going to get you into some new projects and stuff." And then they looked out the window. They were like, "Man, I can't wait for Nick to be involved in some great new project." He's outside holding a sign that says "No vax mandates," and he's yelling and he's protesting. Oh, great! They're like, "Oh no!" So now they don't know what to do. They're like, "We'd love to give you some work, but you might be fired soon." And they keep going. "Are you gonna maybe not be fired?" I'm like, "I mean, I hope I'm not fired." But then they're like, "Do you want to take the vax?" I'm like, "I can't talk about that." You know? A, yeah, I gotta hold strong. I'm now the leader, right? I can't be verifying my vax status and being like, "Just kidding, everyone who is in my chat group and my protest group who's really scared that they're gonna lose their jobs." I actually didn't feel like losing my job. Which I don't necessarily feel like losing my job, but whatever. Anyway, so I don't do much, but I just sit around watching YouTube. Did you guys see the World Chess Championship last week? These chess games, they last like 4 or 5 hours, right? And when you're streaming chess, there's a lot to go over, but there's actually not that much to go over because each move takes like 5 minutes. Two guys stare at each other, and then they make a move. And people are mad in the chess world about how the World Chess Championships went down. Because what happens is the world champion doesn't have to qualify for the chance. It's not like football, where you get put into a tournament, and then, you know, the best two go to the top, and then they play off, and they're like, "Oh, you're the champion." So in chess, apparently, the world champion's the world champion until he's beaten. And to qualify to beat him, you have to win previous tournaments. So this guy wins a bunch of previous tournaments, faces off against Magnus Carlsen. And for the first several games, it's just draw, 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 draw. This is what happens in chess. It's a lot of drawing because when you're that good, chess is a game about you got to wait for the other person to make a mistake. Right? And if you're good, you take advantage of the mistake. But if you're good enough, neither person makes a bad enough mistake. But people are mad because this guy apparently did not play to the extent they were expecting the second best in the world to play.
I think the move F4 does kind of make sense to me.
So what happens is that every move takes 5 minutes. So they spend several minutes just going over moves. Okay, should he make this move? Should he make this move? So what they do for a while is they talk, 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 and then eventually they say, "Oh, there's a move on the board."
I think the move F4 does kind of make sense to me.
By the way, we have the move C5 on the board. So not knight C5, but pawn to
C5. But it's losing. Wait. It's losing.
Oh my God, did he just blow?
Yeah, he did. C6?
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
The chat goes crazy.
He might not see it as a possibility. We were talking about C5, white playing C6, and then it mentioned C6 for black, and the bishop's trapped.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Magnus is scowling because I think he sees it.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah, that's. I would say it's shocking, but I kind of...
So in about 50 to 60 hours of chess gameplay, that was the most exciting moment when the other guy played a move and everyone was like, "Oh, he completely messed up. I can't believe it." This has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website and we will check in early next year, I guess. I don't really have much else to say now. Have a good Christmas. Have a good... Whoa, there's breaking news. We have breaking news right now. Everyone get back in here. Everyone get back in here. We have breaking news. This just happened. Guys, I cannot believe this is happening. You are listening right now to breaking news. I'm still recording. I stopped recording on the video version. Dear U.S. colleagues, with the end of 2021 almost here, I know all of us are looking forward to a new year that brings an end to COVID-19 and a potential return to bring more normal times. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you for all that you have done this year and continue to do to keep yourselves and each other safe, keep our operations running, and ensure our products continue to reach the customers who need them most, despite the challenges we continue to face. The U.S. COVID-19 Task Force has received many questions about our COVID-19 vaccination policy, which is based in part on the requirements of Executive Order 14042. Recently, a federal district court in Georgia issued a temporary stay of the executive order on a nationwide basis. In light of this recent legal developments, and with increasing demand and longer wait times for vaccination appointments, we are making it harder for employees to meet immediate deadlines, we have decided to suspend enforcement of our mandate, subject to the exceptions noted below. While we carefully consider the impact of this injunction and recently enacted state laws related to vaccine mandates we have on our vaccination policy. As a company, we remain convinced that vaccines help to protect people's health, as well as workplace safety and business continuity. We are still asking all employees to be fully vaccinated and upload their proof of vaccination. Employees should still work to complete vaccination and the verification process. However, employees will not at this time be subject to termination of employment for failing to comply with the terms of the COVID-19 vaccination policy. Guys, this happened live on the show. This is incredible. Please note, however, the following exceptions to this general rule. Employees who work at locations where applicable law requires vaccination must comply with such requirements. Outside of the blah, 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 blah. Please note that if the temporary injunction is lifted or another federal mandate applicable to the company is imposed or reinstated, the company will then be required to reinstate the enforcement of its vaccination mandate. In that case, federal law will dictate the compliance deadline and may leave no time for an employee who has not started the vaccination process to achieve compliance with the deadline. I don't know what to do. The chat says, except Nick, he's totally fired. Tell all your colleagues, Nick. They know. We all got the email at once. The chat's blowing up that I have with people. People have posted the screenshot to the chat. Yahoo. Check your emails, everyone. An email says it was suspended. We're winning. They're saying they could reinstate it. What the heck do I do, though? I'm so mad at this company. Not mad at them, but like, I've been doing nothing for days and days and days, just assuming I'm fired. How do I just go back and be like, hey guys, I'm back. Can I do work now? Or do I just quit? Do I just say, the work is done? Thank you for your time. M. Barnes says, take their money, that's what you do. I mean, it's a trade of money. It's a trade, right? I'm trading my whole day for money. Yeah, it's a good amount of money. But for the past 2 months, I've been mentally preparing for my January to be completely free, right? And now I have to do some thinking about if this is even a position I stay in. I was staying in it out of principle. Like, we're going to see this through to the end and see what happens. Now my manager's in a super weird position because he's been saying, I'm not giving you much major work because I don't know if you're fired. But now that state, that could be the state of my employment in perpetuity. Like, what if I, it could come back at any moment. Weird. Well, I guess there's no way to know what's happening. This is breaking news in the last 10 minutes. So no way to... We have some thinking to do, I suppose. Well, that was lucky that that happened during the show. It's crazy. But I'm really happy for the people who were scared and now will get to keep their jobs. That's the most important, right? I was basically the vaccine Jesus. Stab me so everyone else doesn't have to get stabbed. Wait a minute. That's the reverse of what was happening. I'm not getting... Whatever. M. Barnes says, listen, they're going to enforce it eventually. So you'll have to quit soon enough. I guess. I don't know. We're in unprecedented territory in the U.S., right? This is something that's never had such a divide, I don't think, before. And had such a high-reaching situation. Is it impossible that we... that they go, just kidding, that was actually a horrible idea, and we're not going to do that. I'm trying to think of other things that happened like that. Real ID, maybe. Real ID was something that just keeps getting pushed back. I guess they'll eventually get Real ID to go through, and they probably have in most states, but it's something that got delayed forever. Other, you know... Huge onerous regulations. Oh, let's say the healthcare mandate, where everyone is required to have healthcare or they have to pay an extra tax. That eventually, it existed for like a year, and then the tax part of it got repealed by Trump. So it's not impossible that stuff that's so insane is like, okay, that was too insane for now. We're going to turn it back and it's not going to happen. So I'm hoping that that is the case with this one. Yeah, I don't want to end up like Estonia, where we can't be going into any restaurants. It's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go back, or it's just going to become so regular that we go, well, it's like raising our arm and the TSC sees our little balls. And we just live with that. And now we just all pay extra money for the TSA to be horrible. And... do all sorts of stuff that wastes money and assaults us in our sleep. Just checking to make sure you didn't have any water. And then we're all going to be like, well, it is just what it is. Guess this is just the price we pay to live in society. All right. Well, that was fun. Very dramatic. Very dramatic ending to the show. Okay, bye. I don't know. I'll talk to you guys shortly. Thanks for coming. Head on over to the website. Bye.